Well, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I can't hear myself, which is probably a good thing. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning to share with you. And thank you, President Ballard, for the invitation and for this opportunity. I just want to share a little bit more about myself. And I'm telling a story about me because it's really part of the message. And before I read from the book of Matthew, I am a bivocational pastor. That's what I guess you would typically call me, which means I have a job. I work full-time, and it's probably more than full-time. You know, 50, 55 hours a week is not unusual. But I don't tend to call myself a bivocational pastor. I tend to call myself an avocational pastor because the ministry for me never feels like work. It's not a job. It's something from which I gain strength. I don't tend to find it draining in any way, but more fulfilling. An example is Wednesday nights. You know, usually after 3 days of work, things are pretty crazy. And to go home on a Wednesday night to go out to Bible study could seem like a drag sometimes, but it's not. It's a time of renewal and refreshing on Wednesday nights. We've been, over the past 3.5 months or so, moved our church, which is a pretty small group, to a historic Baptist church in downtown Exeter. And we believe there's a copy of the 1833 Baptist Confession hanging around the New Hampshire Confession in this church building. We haven't found it yet. We'll continue to look for it. But there's been this invitation from them to share their space. We're not worshiping with them yet. We're not merged churches or anything like that. But God is working. And the evidence of that is Wednesday night. They don't have a Bible study midweek. Their people, their elders, and their spouses come to our Bible study. And we've really grown to appreciate this other body of true believers in Exeter who just need some direction. And so it's been a real blessing on Wednesday nights. I go home energized at the end of a day. So ministry to me is an avocation. It's not that I have it perfect, because I certainly don't. I don't have my day job perfect. I'm not a perfect man at all, and obviously none of us are. But there's this prevailing attitude that I think I've been, God has blessed me with over the past few years. And it's an important attitude, I think, for all of us. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. It's a rather long passage, and I don't plan to cover the whole of what I'm about to read. But there's a prevailing attitude here that I think that God would want us to see. And we've actually sung about it this morning. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. We thank you for the instruction and the model prayer we see here. And we pray that as we now consider these words, that your Spirit would guide us and guide my thoughts and direct our own attention to your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the prevailing attitude? What's the prevailing attitude? You know, there's a line in a song that goes, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Okay, I'm going to wander just not too far. What's the prevailing attitude? I actually think the prevailing attitude is in the Lord's Prayer. You know, it's a very familiar 70 words or so that we all know. I was in a nursing home on Saturday morning, and I mentioned our Father in heaven. And this elderly gentleman sitting right next to me continues on with the Lord's Prayer. You know, it was really amazing. And I mentioned our Father in heaven again, did the same thing again. So there's these words that we know, right? We all know the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever really spent a lot of time thinking about them and the depth of what they say? You know, they're really a model for us in terms of how we are to pray. Jesus said, pray then like this. He didn't say pray exactly these words, but pray then like this. And it's a model of where our heart is really directed. When I was a really young man, my mother's dad used to sit down and ruminate with me on things of Scripture. And one of the things that he instilled in me was the emphasis in the Lord's Prayer that we sometimes miss. You know, there's an invocation in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. There's three petitions that are really God-directed. Hallowed be your name. Well, that's a big word. Be exalted, God's name be exalted and honored and revered. And then your kingdom come in the form of salvation, in the church, in the future, you know, with the glorious redemption and a new heaven and a new earth. Those are things we should pray for. Those three little words have huge implications. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But this is where my grandfather was really, I think, right. The next three petitions. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. My grandfather taught me that there's a missing word in most of those lines. And I think this is the prevailing attitude we're to have. He said the missing word is the word you. You give us this day our daily bread. And you forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And you lead us not into temptation, because God does not tempt us. But you deliver us from evil. And there's a prevailing attitude there that I think is really beneficial to walk through life having. And I wish I had it all the time. You know, realizing that our Father in heaven has a kingdom. Sorry, I'm not used to this, by the way. Has a kingdom that is now and forever. He has a will and a perfect plan and purpose. And yet he provides everything we need. Everything. Our daily bread. Forgiveness. Everything. And he protects us and guides us. And it's interesting to me that this prevailing attitude that we see in the Lord's Prayer is in the middle of this passage about practicing righteousness. You know, we have choices in life. And I have been in places and times in my own life where practicing righteousness has not been the priority. And, you know, the alternative is practicing sinfulness, right? That's the alternative to it. 1 John chapter 3, you know, John says practice righteousness, or you practice sinfulness or lawlessness. So practicing righteousness is what Jesus encourages his followers to do here. In verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. You know, and then he describes three ways that people can wrongly practice righteousness and three ways that they can rightly practice righteousness. You know, he calls people hypocrites. They're not practicing righteousness. They're hypocritical. You know, what is a hypocrite? A stage actor, literally, right? Pretending to be something other than what they really are. You know, wearing a costume to receive the applause of the crowd. You know, more focused on perceptions and deceptions and not the reality of who they are. And so hypocrites put on a show, motivated by a need to be seen. And so Jesus gives us three examples of hypocritical behavior. Hypocritical behavior in giving. It's kind of odd that I'm preaching on this on a day that but anyways, hypocritical behavior in giving, you know, that you give to be seen by others giving. You know, the hypocrites sound the trumpet. Right? Is that what that says? The hypocrites, when they give to the needy, they sound the trumpet. Don't do that, Jesus says. What is sounding the trumpet? Ever literally play the trumpet? I do play the trumpet. But no, I don't think that's what that is. There was a vessel that would have been in the courtyard where people would put their money. And the hypocrites would not just put it in, they would throw it in and make it noisy and literally sound the trumpet. So don't be like that. Don't be like that to receive the praise of others, Jesus said. And when you pray, don't stand in a haughty kind of way, a more holy than thou kind of way, or piously. Don't do that just for show, to draw the attention of other people. That's what hypocrites do. And don't, when you fast, you know, don't look so miserable and sour-faced that you want people to think how holy you are. You know? That's not practicing righteousness. Practicing righteousness is remembering that we have a Father in heaven whose name is to be hallowed, who has a kingdom and a will and provides for us and forgives us and guides us and protects us. So that when we are practicing righteousness, we have a totally different attitude. Right? When we're practicing righteousness, we are giving without fanfare and doing it in as secret a way as possible and as we're led by the Holy Spirit. You know, in those situations, the reward is the blessing of God. When we pray, we don't pray with pride. We pray with humility. We pray knowing he's given us tremendous blessings and gifts. We pray with an attitude of quietness as we commune with God. And the effect of our prayer is what? He will answer it as he sees fit. Our sovereign God will answer our prayer. You know, if we pray in accordance with his will, it's even better. You know, it's much easier that way. And when we fast, not to do so openly, you know, this is something between you and God. It's not between you and other people. Be sincere with the Lord. Don't worry about the viewpoints of others. And so Jesus is talking about this practicing righteousness idea. How do we do that? How do we you know, rely fully on the Lord? That's why I'm just amazed that the Lord's Prayer is in the middle of that. You know, that this idea of practicing righteousness, in the middle of that is this idea of our dependence on God, on his name, on his work, on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When that's our focus, the hard work that's ahead of us, the difficult things that need to be done. I can imagine that, you know, I was talking to Dr. Wright this morning about, you know, what are the challenges you face? Lots of work, right? The syllabus is crazy. I have this much to do and this much time to do it. And I have to work and I have to do other things. If we have a prevailing attitude that we can rely on the Lord to bring us through that, that he will give us this day our daily bread, and he will give us the forgiveness of our sins, and he will not lead us to temptation, but he actually delivers us from the evil one. When we are relying on him, it makes those things that we so often crowd our lives with, that are not of God, just disappear and go away and not be so significant. You know, so, you know, many of you, who works? Everybody works, right? Who's in the ministry, right? You're all in the ministry of some type. And it's a difficult balance. But that's why I don't like to call myself a bivocational pastor. Because at the end of the day, the end of the week, the strength comes from the Lord to do both things that need to be done. I mean, work is good. Work is a good thing. And doing work with an attitude, a prevailing attitude, that we have a sovereign God who oversees it all, makes it even better. And so I challenge you to think about the attitude you have. You know, is your attitude about your kingdom or his kingdom? You know, one of the challenges in this world is the prayer of this world is not your kingdom come. It's my kingdom come, and it better come quick, right? My kingdom come, my will be done. You know, but it's really your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that should be our prevailing attitude. And then we can go to the Lord in prayer and give and serve. We can worship. We can love other people, extend God's grace to other people in a much more meaningful way. Not like we deserve any praise or any glory, because it all belongs to him. So that would be my challenge for you this morning. Develop a prevailing attitude that says, you know, I need to be humble before God. I need to be broken and contrite in spirit. I need to tremble at his word. By the way, that's the first message I ever heard Pastor Mark preach from Isaiah 66, verse 2, the second half. You know, God wants to look upon people who are humble, contrite in spirit, and tremble at his word. And that's the prevailing attitude of the Lord's Prayer. You know, that we should revere him and trust in him and count on him to bring us through whatever challenges and whatever challenges we face and whatever life brings our way. Let's pray together. Father, there are times where I know I have personally sought the attention of men and the praise of man to be seen and to be heard. And that's a problem when we are oriented to the world and not oriented towards you. When we're more worried about the things going on around us in the moment and less focused on the fact that our home is not even here for the long run. That we have a heavenly home and a place that we know where you dwell. In a place that you've set aside for us. May you be in our thoughts. May your kingdom and your name and your will and all that you do for us be part of our prevailing attitude, that we might see your sovereignty. We see your purpose and we see your grace and your love in all that we have to do, whether it be work, ministry, and even play. Lord, give us a prevailing attitude, directing our hearts toward the wonder of who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.